Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we are going to get those phone numbers out and get some other information out here, hopefully, for you this evening. As soon as I get something moved around where I can see what I'm looking at. There we go. All right, that's a lot better. Had something in the way. All right, you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word. Toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here this evening. And let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program. Pray that you would use it for your glory and help us to point people to Christ that are searching, encourage believers in their walk with you, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you would just bless, help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we talk about this evening, and just guide and direct us through your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And I don't know, I was telling Craig when I came into the studio here that I'm fortunate to be in here tonight. We had our first snow here in our area, and we came out, going to our evening service at church tonight. It was snowing, and there was a little bit starting to accumulate, and we came out, there was more, and I'll tell you, when I got home from church, I come under horrendous snowball attacks. I mean, I had snow in my ears, I had snow up my nose, down my throat, down my back. I'm lucky to be here tonight, I guess. I just barely survived. You know, I could have been frozen in a pile of slush out there this evening instead of on the radio. So it's not the roads that were that bad. The roads are okay. A little slushy in a few spots as I was coming up and snow coming down. But like with anything, first snow of the year, be careful out there if you're on the roads. The wind is far worse than what the snow is. And just the wind pushing the car around coming up here tonight. So if you're out on the roadways, keep a good grip on the steering wheel, pay attention to what's going on, and you should be okay. Hopefully by tomorrow, we're supposed to be having weather change here this week, and after tomorrow, I think the week is supposed to warm up. Election Day is supposed to be in the low 50s, last I heard, and then reaching the 60s by the end of the week, so we've got a little bit of, I guess, if nothing else, this ought to be Indian summer, because after having freezing temperatures and snow and getting some nice warm weather here later this week, that's Indian summer as far as I'm concerned. So hopefully we'll be able to enjoy that this week. Well, speaking of the election, I want to remind you to make sure get out and vote if you haven't voted yet. I've got some things online at our website for the radio program, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and it'll take you to our website. And I've got a couple of things there in my comments in the section. There's a posting, Vote Your Biblical Values. And I have an article there that I just actually posted yesterday called Voting for a Party versus a Candidate. And a lot of times people are hesitant for the person voting that's running, and they don't like them. They complain they don't like them. And if that's what's given you pause with voting to reelect President Trump, you're saying, but I don't like him as a person. If you don't like Donald Trump as a person, how can you vote for Joe Biden? Because, of course, his personal reputation is even worse. But, and of course, with all of the accusations coming out now about him being basically in the pay of the Chinese Communist Party and stuff going on there, but Here's the thing that I put in this article. If you can't decide who to vote for in the 2020 presidential election, you don't like either of the candidates running personally, then consider voting for the party instead. And the reason is, when we elect a president, we do not merely elect a candidate, we elect a party. And along with the party, we elect the party platform. Now, that doesn't mean that the candidate is going to follow the party platform 100%, but generally speaking, people that he selects, people that he appoints to cabinet positions and department heads and different agencies and things like that, judges that they select and nominate for positions, et cetera, generally speaking, may hold to the party platform to a greater or lesser degree, certainly more so than others. Now, the way that you look at this then is you look at the party platforms. And in this article that I posted yesterday called Voting for a Party Versus Candidate, I referenced 2 Corinthians 13:1 that says, "This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." And it talks about having two or three witnesses. Of course, in the Old Testament, we know that to convict somebody of some kind of a sinful behavior, whatever, they needed the testimony of two or three witnesses. And even in, I believe it's in Matthew, where he talked about church discipline or discipline amongst believers and all, where he said that if you have some problem with somebody, you go to them and try to talk to them, resolve it. If you can't get it resolved, then you come back with two or three witnesses, or one or two others, so that you can have two or three witnesses as to what took place. Well, so I looked at three things in the Republican Party platform and compared it to the Democrat Party platform. And the three categories that I looked at, the three issues that I looked at, the first one is faith, religious freedom, and religious liberty. Both the Democrat and Republican Party platforms address those issues, that overall issue. The second issue they looked at was abortion and the sanctity of life. The third one was LGBTQ issues and traditional marriage. And quite simply, what I did is I posted the excerpts from the party platform so you can read it exactly what the party says, and then look at that and say, well, wait a minute, which one, as a Bible-believing Christian, do I agree most with? And then vote for the candidate whose party platform reflects the closest to what your biblical views are. And I think if that's the case, if you approach it that way, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, there'll be no doubt that you would feel compelled to cast your vote for Donald Trump for four more years. If you don't believe in the sanctity of marriage and if you believe in same-sex marriage and all that, then obviously you wouldn't want to vote for him. You'd vote for Biden. If you believed in abortion on demand up until and perhaps after birth, you would go for the Democrat ticket. If you believed that unborn lives matter and that they should be protected, then you would vote for the pro-life team of Trump and Pence. And likewise, if you believed in religious liberty and freedom and the First Amendment protection and all that we have on churches, well, then again, I think you'll clearly see that you side with the Republican platform more than the Democrat platform. If you think that churches should be reined in and churches shouldn't be allowed to address certain issues and that churches should have to change their doctrine and their theology on some issues, oh, then you would find yourself more in alignment with the Democrat platform. So those are the things to consider. And and even when you look at other things, I'll give you an example here on the 11th Congressional District, and we're going to get to some callers and some questions here in just a few minutes. But give you some examples here on the U.S. House District 11 here in Ohio, which encompasses much of our listening area. This district stretches from the east side of Cuyahoga County, including Cleveland, East Cleveland, Euclid, South Euclid, Richmond Heights, and it stretches down through Seven Hills into Broadview Heights, and then it reaches down into Summit County and Richfield Village and Richfield Township, Bath, Fairlawn, and then into parts of West and Northwest Akron. And this race, for instance, here, if you don't know the two candidates, the incumbent, Marcia Fudge, is the Democrat incumbent. And if you look at the political parties, you would see that she pretty much holds to the Democrat positions on abortion up until and including the time the baby's ready to be born. She supports the same-sex marriages and allowing transgendered men that claim to be girls or women to change in the women's locker rooms, et cetera, in the high schools and such, and different things like that. She's for all that. That's the Democrat Party platform. Laverne Gore, on the other hand, she respects traditional marriage. She is for the sanctity of human life, the unborn, champion of the unborn. She's for religious freedom and all that. She embodies much of the Republican platform. So if you don't know the two candidates personally, here's a good case where just looking at the Ohio 11th House District or U.S. House District here in Ohio, you would come down on the side of Laverne Gore if you favored, like I said, the pro-life position, the pro-family, pro-traditional family, or pro-traditional marriage position and religious freedom and liberty. If you had the Democrat position, then obviously you wouldn't want to support Laverne Gore, but I think you would find Laverne Gore being someone who would echo your biblical values. And so that's how you can apply this even in races other than the presidential race. This is important. I want to touch on that because the election is coming up on November 3rd. Many people have voted already. If you have not voted, there's early voting in Ohio up until, I believe, about 4 o'clock on Monday. So you can get in and do that at your Board of Elections, or you can show up at your polling location from 6:30 in the morning until 7:30 at night, I believe, and you can be ready to vote there. I'm looking forward to the idea that with our voting, that since so many people have voted early, we might have a lower turnout on Election Day itself on November 3rd. So, at any rate, if you know somebody who hasn't voted yet, please encourage them to get out and vote. We still have time, and if you're a believer and you voted already, pray for the election. I remember Hugh Hewitt. He's on Salem Broadcasting. Many years ago, he coined the statement, "If it's not close, they can't cheat." And so pray that it'll be a decisive win. So it's not tied up in the courts, and pray that no matter who wins, that there won't be unrest and problems and things like that that are being threatened, especially on the left if they don't get what they want. All right. I think it might vary by county. Somebody told me earlier today in Summit County it went till 4. So, but at any rate, whatever early voting is on Monday, somebody called in and said that they thought it only went till 2, you have, like I said, all day on Election Day, and you don't have to travel all the way into your county board of elections. You're probably right around a corner, not too far from your polling place. If you don't know where your polling location is, call your county board of elections, and you can find out from them. All right. Well, I talked a bit about that. Reminder, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you'll find links to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Also links to our social media there and some articles that I've got there. Like I said, this article, Voting for a Party versus Candidate. You can listen to a pre-election special that Pastor Lutz and I did last Friday. We combined his 1 o'clock program and my 1:30 program for an hour. We will be doing this again this coming Friday right here on AM 1220 The Word, and on Friday afternoon, a post-election special, and I'll be on with Pastor Lutz at 1 o'clock, and Pastor Lutz will be on with me at 1:30. We'll combine our two programs another hour. to look back at what took place on the elections this Tuesday. And so do check out some of those things that we have there. And check out our social media. Post a lot of things on there and you might find interesting. All right. Well, we're going to get started with a couple of things. I've got several people online, but I do have another question that we're going to get to first. And this question comes all the way from across the room here. And Lauren, who helps out oftentimes here on Sunday night, has a pertinent question. And before I get to Lauren, let me also let you know, if you're looking for us on YouTube, YouTube doesn't want to work tonight. I spent about 10 minutes before the show trying to get YouTube to broadcast tonight, and it won't broadcast. So there's no YouTube broadcast tonight. But Lauren usually checks to make sure it's working and everything, and she tried to help me. We couldn't get it to work. So no YouTube broadcast tonight. Normally we try to do that. So Lauren has a question tonight. Lauren, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, Pastor Al. My question was, I know some people who will have weird or creepy things happen around their house, such as lights flickering, as well as other things. They say it's their loved ones or friends trying to tell them something. I was wondering what your thoughts are about that and what the Bible has to say about that.
Well, I think that's a great question, especially since yesterday was Halloween, and with all the stuff going on with the election, we really didn't touch on that on our Friday program, and really planned on touching on it much tonight. But you do get this happening a lot. I've known people that when somebody has passed, a loved one, a close family member, something, a close friend has passed, something will happen, and they'll say, oh, my loved one is sending me a message. You know, I saw a flock of butterflies today, and they came down and they landed on the flowers where I was sitting, and I was just happened to be thinking about so and so, and these butterflies came, and I know that was them trying to get a message to me. And things like that happen all the time, or somebody will hear something happen and they'll say, that was so and so, that was great Uncle Fred, you know, or that was great Aunt Sophie, that's what I was trying to say, Sophie and Celia. You know, it was somebody trying to get a message to us. Well, here's the thing. We have a body and we have a soul. And we have a spirit. We're a three-part being created in the image of God. Of course, God exists as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The spirit, it would correspond, of course, to our spirit. God, the Son, Jesus Christ, would correspond in a rough analogy form to our body. And then, of course, the soul would correspond to God the Father. And the soul, of course, being where your personality is, your will, and the things of that nature. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what happens when when we experience physical death. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so we're looking forward to going into the heavens as a believer to be with the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. And so he says this in verse number 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. In verse 8, he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So when a believer dies, if somebody knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, when they die, they immediately go into the presence of the Lord in heaven. The body goes into the grave, but the spirit and the soul go to heaven to be with the Lord. Now, you don't hang around knocking on tables in the middle of the night, or you don't open and close doors or turn lights on and off. You're in heaven. And I rather think that in heaven, you're not going to have much interest in coming back to this world and walking around rapping on things and making noises and trying to scare people. So that takes care of the believer. We're in heaven. We're not walking around giving messages. And because heaven exists outside of time in the sense that we know time, People in heaven probably are not as aware of how time is passing on earth. I'm not going to spend much getting into that right now, but suffice to say, they're occupied and things are keeping them. They're not coming back even if they could, and they certainly can't. Now, those of us in heaven, of course, we know from Revelation chapter 19, we will return to the earth with the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon. And then Jesus will set up the millennial reign of Christ here on the earth, defeat the Antichrist and all. The devil will be put in the bottomless pit. So what happens to unsaved people? Well, certainly unsaved people, they're not going into the Father's presence in heaven. They're not. But the other thing is, they're not going to hang around on the earth knocking on doors and turning lights on and off and casting spooky shadows around the place or causing weird things to happen. And so we see a story that Jesus gave, and I don't believe that it's a parable for a couple of reasons. One, he names Lazarus and Abraham in this story, and also parables that Jesus gave, generally speaking, had to do with earthly things that everybody had experience with and could relate to. A man sowing seed, a man, somebody going on a journey, somebody looking for a lost sheep. These are things that, people had experience with. And in this story, in Luke chapter 16, he talks about two people dying and what happens to them in the afterlife. And so we see in, and this is before the cross, of course, and I really don't have the opportunity and the time to go into all the details of some of the things before the cross, but suffice to say that what it says about the unsaved person in this, the rich man, the Bible says there's a rich man here, and he dies. The Bible says it came to pass that the beggar, that's Lazarus, died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, prior to the cross, there was the abode of the dead. There was the part Abraham's bosom that we see described here, or paradise, where the believing souls went to. Those that died with their faith in the Messiah to come, Jesus had not yet come, had not yet gone to the cross, they were in this location as a temporary abode. And it was separated from those that died rejecting God. They were in a place of torment. And there's the rich man in torments. And he cries and says in verse 24, and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." So he could see him and he could talk with him. Abraham responds in verse 25, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, thou art tormented. And beside all this, there between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence." Okay, so they could not interact directly except to talk. And then notice what the rich man says in verse 27. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." See, the rich man did not want his family to come there. He wanted to send messages to his family, but he could not go there. He was stuck in this place of torment, no way of escaping it. If he could go and knock on somebody's window in the middle of the night, he would have gladly done it to get out of torment, but he couldn't. So he thought, well, I can't go. Maybe Lazarus can go. Lazarus could not go either. Lazarus was there in Abraham's bosom in the place called paradise until Jesus died on the cross. He descended in the lower parts of the earth, led captivity captive, and now Lazarus and Abraham both are in heaven. And they're not coming back either. So what accounts for all these things, these weird things that happen, like you asked, Lauren? And what I believe, there's a couple of things going on. One thing that happens is somebody is thinking about the loved one that passed there, and they're feeling sad or lonely or whatever, and something happens that reminds them of their loved one, and they say, "Oh, those butterflies, it must be Aunt Sally giving me a message from the beyond. The sunbeam just came through and illuminated my coffee cup. That must be Uncle Fred, because he always liked coffee, you know, trying to tell me everything's going to... Do you see what I'm saying? They want to learn, or I mean, they want to feel better. And those things make them feel better. It's just they're seeing things, and that's the way they interpret it, if that makes sense. And then the other thing is the Bible warns about familiar spirits. And familiar spirits are fallen angels, unholy angels. Remember, about a third of the angels followed Lucifer in his rebellion against God. And some of these spirits, they're unclean spirits, unholy spirits. We tend to refer to them in the name of demons, but devils is a better term. And these familiar spirits, part of what goes on with them is they're familiar because they know us, or they're familiar with us. And many of these spirits understand us. They've been around us. They know things that only Uncle Fred and you knew, that nobody else knew, because they were watching. They were around when those things were discussed or took place or whatever. And people say, well, only Uncle Fred knew that, so it had to be him. No, familiar spirit imitating Uncle Fred. And so as a consequence, the devils, use these sorts of things to convince people that when you die, you don't necessarily go directly to be with the Lord in heaven if you're saved, or straight into torment if you're not saved. You get to wander around for a while. I always like the ghost stories that come up. You know, somebody died here 150 years ago in a carriage accident, and they're always here in the middle of the night. You know, if you go there at midnight, you'll see their ghost walking, and they don't know they're dead. You know, 150 years they've been walking around, and everybody runs when they see them, and they don't have to eat, and they never can leave that spot, and their clothes never change, and you know, and they don't know it because they're brain dead, right? They're not able to realize what's happening. No, it's familiar spirits. It's devils trying to fool people. So we've got a little bit of that going on. So hopefully that answered your question there a little bit. Familiar spirits, people want to see things. But it's definitely not the spirit of a loved one come back. Well, we've got another half hour to go. Hope our callers will hold on, and we'll get to you in the next half. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 4-4-2-8-6. Our email address is pastoral@mapleknoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and dealt with one question in the last half hour, and we've got some callers waiting that we're going to get to momentarily here. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you, and we're, of course, brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com. You can find our website there, connect with the church, connect with our social media, and just a reminder, we do not have the YouTube broadcast tonight. Tried it during the break, still won't come on. Don't know what's going on with YouTube tonight, but it's not letting us broadcast. This, I guess, in light of the elections coming up, makes you wonder. But at any rate, also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. They are open for pickup only right now. That's pickup only right now, I believe. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. 216-341-9100. Right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. All right, we're getting back to our program here, and we've got several people waiting, and so we're going to try and get through our callers here and maybe even squeeze in somebody else if somebody else calls in tonight at 888-677-9673. We've got Tom, I think we'll get to first here. We haven't heard from Tom in a while. Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al. How are you doing?
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good. A little bit of winter out there tonight.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I just narrowly escaped with my life being pelted with snowballs after church tonight. It was rough. Touch and go. I didn't know if I was going to make it. I finally managed to get into the house. I had to pull myself in, but I survived.
I was thinking about what you were telling the girl there about, it's like, well, the Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord for us Christians, you know.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying.
But sometimes I think there's a curiosity. We get into imagination and stuff, too. And I always like the story of the Charles Dickens Christmas Carol.
With the ghost of Christmas, the past, present, and future, yes.
You know, where his friend comes back and warns him you're going to be visited, you know.
But, mm-hmm. Of course, the best rendition of a Christmas Carol is the Muppet version.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen that, that's you got to see that.
Yeah, but when people start messing around and taking it seriously and really believing that, trying to communicate with dead spirits, the Bible forbids that.
Oh, exactly. And that's what's called necromancy. And back in August, I think, we did a couple of programs. They're still on our website at livewithpastoral.com on Black Lives Matter and their connections to necromancy and divination and unclean spirits.
Well, there you go.
In their own words, no less.
I got a quick question about the election.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not sure how they're doing it in Summit County because I didn't get out for the last election, so... it's been a few years since we voted, and so we had to re-register because they knocked me off. But going in Tuesday morning,
amen.
We're gonna, and I don't have any problem with pulling that lever for President Trump. So,
well, I'll tell you what, when you go through the list of things that he's done, Al Mohler does some commentary on the Salem stations, and we're on a Salem station, and just before we came on, they shared one of his short commentary pieces. He said, 4 years ago, I didn't vote for him, but he said, I already voted, and I voted for Donald Trump. And his reason was, he said 4 years ago, he didn't think he would do the things that he said he was going to do, and he's seen that he has done those things. I've got this list, about 9 pages of things.
I heard Mueller say that.
Yeah, I got this list about nine pages worth of things that he has accomplished regarding life, family, and religious freedom from 2017, January 2017, up until, I think it goes to September of this year. And it's just thing after thing after thing that he has done supporting faith, family, and religious freedom. So this is incredible.
All Christians have to remember one thing. When they cross the line, when candidates cross the line and support, abortion or infanticide and all these other crazy things that they're trying to change against God's word, then it's a clear-cut decision as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and so unfortunately,
they can take a stand for 10 things that are good, but if they're for those wicked things, then I'm against them.
Well, and it's unfortunate. There's a group out there called Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden. And they say if you're really pro-life, you have to support Biden because he's going to raise the minimum wage and it'll raise women out of poverty. And poverty is the number one reason that women get abortions.
Who's going to pay for doubling the...
I know. It's nonsense. These people aren't thinking clearly. You know, think about this. The economy boomed at an absolutely unheard of stellar record-setting 33.1% the gross domestic GDP went up, and unprecedented. Nobody's ever heard of such a thing. If it had gone up 3.1, we'd have rejoiced. And this is unprecedented. And you know what raising the economy and economic conditions does? It puts money in the pocket of women and it lifts them out of poverty, doesn't it?
There you go.
Exactly.
They would stay true to the capitalistic ideas there because the socialist ideas don't work.
A free market system has done more to provide more goods and services and more variety to people than any other system on earth.
That's right. It's not perfect, but it's the best there is out there.
Right.
Anyway, I got a quick question. So what is the mode now for Summit County? Are they using a stylus where it's strictly electronic?
All right. Here's what you do, and I'll get this real quick here because I know we got callers too waiting. You'll go into your station. They've done a combined thing. You don't have to look for your precinct table anymore. You go in, and anybody can help you. That makes the lines move faster. And then when you get up there, you have your driver's license ready. This is advice for anybody when you're voting in person. Have your driver's license. That's the easiest way to do it. There's other ways you can do it, but the easiest way, have your driver's license out. They scan the barcode on the back. It'll pop up with your name, your information, and you get your ballot. You take the ballot over to the booth. You darken in the circles. It's like taking the old test in school. Remember where you had to take and darken the circles? And
so do you use a pen? You got to bring a pen with
they
you?
We have pens available. Okay. And there's a stylus to sign on the screen when you get your ballot, and then there's pens available at the booths in order to darken in, use black ink.
And is there a confirmation we can read before we leave?
You have the ballot. You see what you voted. When it's all set, you take the ballot to an optical scanning machine, and you scan it in, and it beeps to let you know that your vote has been registered. There's a memory card inside the machine that records your vote.
Okay, very good.
And then if there's a problem with your ballot, it'll beep a couple times and spit it out, and you can look at it if you need to change or correct something, and it gives you the options there. And so when you come up to scan your ballot, don't leave until it beeps and says that your ballot has been voted.
Very
And you know well. You voted, you know it's in the system.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Al. Happy voting day, by the way.
All right, and Tom, great that you're going to be out, and if you know somebody
absolutely.
Else to encourage to vote,
oh,
do
yeah.
so.
No.
Do
oh,
so.
No. Oh, no, we couldn't sit this one out. No.
Yeah.
Way.
Well, thanks so much for that. Appreciate that.
Okay, God bless.
God bless, Tom. Thank you. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and let's see, who do we have that's been waiting longest? I believe it's Nancy. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. It was great to hear Lauren and Tom. Because we haven't heard Tom for a while, and I think that's the first time Lauren's called in. But my question today is based on Pastor Andy's sermon this evening, When the Good Guys Lose. Now, he's not trying, I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom, because I sincerely think that President Trump will get reelected, especially if there's not a whole lot of election fraud, which we pray that there will not be. But he did make some really good points, and he quoted Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear its rule, the people mourn.
Right.
And he did say we might, if God forbid, Biden does win, you know, because as Christians, Jesus, God loves those, he chastens those that he loves. So it could be a chastening. Even though there's many of us that are pro-life, we might be exhibiting the sin of pride or something else. And so it will be very unfair under a Biden-Harris administration, you know, because, you know, we'll lose a lot of freedoms of speech and religion and taxes and lockdowns.
But I think you could look at California as a guideline.
Yes, yes. And, but he did, but Pastor Andy said, in a, based on the Bible, of course, that as many as I love, I rebuke, Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore repent. So he said there was a remedy. There was a remedy for us to repent if, God forbid, Biden gets in, because we might be pro-life, but we might be committing other sins, and to, you know, apply 2 Chronicles 7:14. So I thought it was a good sermon, because we have to be prepared just in case the worst happens. I personally think President Trump's going to win by a big margin. I think he deserves it. When you see the huge crowds, like 30,000 for President Trump, and then Biden might have 30 or 6 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah, but not 30,000, but 30 as in 3-0.
Like 30.
And that's a big number for 30. Some of his campaign, his stops.
Yeah, 30. Yeah, some of them are 60.
Actually, I was joking with somebody at church today. I said, no, he sometimes has thousands of people at his stops. He has like 10, 20, 30 of his own supporters, and then probably 1,000 or more Trump supporters following along with big Trump signs.
Yeah, I think there's more Trump supporters at some of his
The
stops, and then he calls them names because he's sort of annoyed.
Yeah, but, in fact, the Biden bus keeps getting followed by long lines of Trump cars, including down in Texas. If anybody's seen online the hearse that's dressed, that's all painted up with different slogans on it, you know, collecting Democrat votes one stiff at a time, you know, things like that. It's kind of, somebody's got a great sense of humor, but
yeah, they certainly do. Yeah. Well, I'll let you go, but thank you very much. Yeah. I really enjoyed Lauren's call and Tom. It was great to hear them again.
Well, I appreciate that.
And we're praying for the election.
And that's what we need to do.
Bible study.
Yeah.
Yes, so praying all the time.
That's what we have to do.
You.
We have to continue to prayer, in prayer, and also we have to get out and vote if we haven't voted yet. So appreciate that call there.
I voted. I dropped it off at the ballot box a couple weeks ago.
Well, I'm looking forward to casting my vote on Tuesday as well, so that's what I'm looking forward to doing. So, thanks for that. Let me touch on a couple of those issues before we get to our next caller, and brought up some good points. And so, thanks, Nancy. Appreciate that. And as Nancy brought up, you know, what happens if, God forbid, President Trump doesn't win re-election, we get Biden-Harris, or as Joe Biden said the other day in Georgia, a Harris-Biden administration. People laughed, and he said, "Oh, you all think I'm joking." Now, what was that supposed to mean? But what I was going to say is, remember back in after Bill Clinton was in for 8 years, we had George W. Bush. I really believe Christians got complacent We really did.
Mm-hmm.
And we had President Obama elected. Now, I did not mm-hmm. vote for him. I was not happy that he won, and I certainly wasn't happy mm-hmm. when he won re-election. But you know what? You didn't see people on the right out looting and burning down cities because mm-hmm. they were unhappy with the result of the election. Remember George mm-hmm. W. Bush? He left office. If anybody wants to remember back when Bill Clinton left office after 8 years, remember they stole the W's off from the keyboards of all the typewriters and things in computers in the White House, as well as a lot of other damage that they did, because remember George W. Bush went by the nickname W, and there's a bunch of stuff like that they did. A lot of damage was done, and you didn't see that happen when the Obama administration came in. You didn't see that, and so you know, I believe that if it was a conclusive win for Biden, that President Trump would recognize the constitutional appropriateness of leaving the office on January 21st at noon. Mm-hmm. He would mm-hmm. cease to be president. He has, mm-hmm. if anything, proven himself to be a constitutionalist and a patriot. And I believe he would leave office. And I don't believe that you're going to have rioting in the streets. Now, unfortunately, there are plans in place in major cities and some not so major cities and smaller towns across this nation for security on election night. They're expecting violence. They're not expecting it from people on the right. They're expecting it from the left, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and other groups. They're expecting massive rioting, especially if Biden does not win on Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Now, that's sad.
All the doors are boarded up and all these
I would not advise somebody to be in the downtown areas on Tuesday night or Wednesday night this coming week, personally. I think if you don't have to be there, don't be there. Because some of these areas, I remember when they had the riots down in Columbus, there were people who were in an apartment building near the Capitol Square where the Capitol building was entered and vandalized on the inside. And people broke into the apartment building. They were charging up the stairs and into the hallways, pounding on people's doors saying, "Open up or we'll burn you out." This is in Columbus. And so, you know, we pray that that sort of stuff doesn't happen. And so we do the best that we can, but we've got to put it up in prayer. And hopefully God will bless. I heard Chris Long of Ohio Christian Alliance say something a couple of years ago. He said he believed that Donald Trump would be reelected and God would protect him because he's pro-life. He stands up for the unborn. And God says those that shed innocent blood, that's an abomination. He is pro-Israel and the Jewish people. And God said he would bless those that bless Israel, curse those that curse Israel, and he stood up for the rights and freedoms of Christians, and of course God would bless that as well. And I'm praying that that'll be true, that God will give us 4 more years. But Nancy, I'm going to have to let you go so I can get Terry on here.
Okay. If you can. Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate the call tonight, and God bless. Encourage people to get out and vote that haven't voted yet. And thanks for listening. We've got Terry coming up next. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello.
Hi. We're racing through a few things here in a busy night tonight, so glad to have you.
Yeah, I hope everything goes well with your reelection there.
Yeah, well, I mean, so much of our economy here in the States is so tied with the Canadian economy. You know, I would think that Canadians would be praying for our election here, too, because if our economy grows, Canada benefits. If our economy goes into a down, you know, a tailspin, Canada is hurt by that as well, right?
Yeah, it matters a lot who becomes president there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's
us, too, here in Canada.
Yeah, and when you think about it, Canada and the United States have is one of the longest, I don't want to use the term open because with the shutdowns and everything, it's kind of hard to cross the border, but it's one of the longest unmilitarized borders in the world. Yeah. And, I mean, that's a tremendous thing when you think about it. the closeness as allies that Canada and the United States have been throughout our history, really, or most, you know, certainly the 20th century and into the 21st century. Think of World War I, World War II, the Cold War, and different things, and such close cooperation that's really kept the world safe, hasn't it?
We've been through a lot together.
Yeah, and reaching out, including, of course, the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, different a few other countries coming and going at different times. God has really been able to work through us and the partnership. So, yes, yeah, so we pray that our elections go well. And when your elections are on, we need to pray for the Canadian elections as well.
Yeah, I was just saying, good luck with your election. With your re-election.
Yeah. But, I appreciate that. Appreciate the prayers.
Yeah. I've got my sister and our boyfriend, they listened in to the station. They asked me a question. They wanted me to ask you a question.
Yes, sir. I know we got just a few minutes left, but go ahead.
Yeah. The question is Jesus said that, I had it written here. Says that some will be standing here and will not see, taste death until the kingdom of God has come. Yeah. Mark chapter 9.
Okay.
Verse 1.
Right,
and
right.
I was always a little bit troubled by that verse. I got to know.
Yeah, it's also in Matthew chapter 16. Yeah. And what he's talking about, when you look at the passage, and I'll see if I can do this real quick. In verse 2, it says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. There appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And I don't have time to get into the whole story there, but verse 7 says, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them. A voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And Matthew 16 recounts much of this as well. But what happened here, this is the fulfillment when Jesus said there's some standing here that will not taste of death till they've seen the kingdom of God come with power. Peter refers to this I believe it's 2 Peter. Let me see if I can get over there real quick while we're just finishing up here. But he refers to this in his writing when they saw Jesus coming in his power, the kingdom of God in power is what took place there. Let's see. I'm sorry?
That's the way I see it.
Here it is. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. For we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. So Peter refers to this as seeing him coming in the kingdom of God coming with power and glory. He refers to that event in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting here, as I said, in verse number 16. So Jesus absolutely had what was what he said fulfilled. Some of them standing there, specifically Peter, James, and John, saw him before they died. So hopefully it answers the question there.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, hey, that's a good question there, and it's good to finish up on that as well, Terry. We think about that, thinking about the kingdom of God and the power and the glory that we have there. Earthly kingdoms come and go, don't they? Presidents and prime ministers come and go. But
his word will never.
Exactly. His word endureth forever, and Jesus Christ is and always will be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So thank you for that, Terry. We're running out of time quickly. Seconds to go left in the program. Pray for the election. Get out and vote if you haven't. And pray that God will just bless and a spirit of calm across this country on Election Day. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.